Happy weekend, friend. We find ourselves in our second to the last week of our Don't Let Go study. And guess what? Today, Lily Dunbar joins us. Lily, you give us insight into your heart right as you open your teaching. And I'm just going to say these words, and they're going to have to hear them again because I loved them. I want to be a woman who turns to the Lord and trusts in his faithfulness, even when people fail me and when things don't turn out the way I had necessarily hoped for. But that is oh so hard. And I just relate to those feelings, and I'm sure our friends listening do as well. So let's just dive right in, because you share some great wisdom on how we can arrive at this place of trusting God's faithfulness, even in the hard.
Well, thanks, Wendy. Our study is called Don't Let Go. And Katie McCown, who authored our wonderful study guide, which I hope all of you had the privilege of sharing into, she shared with us that in her introduction letter that when we're confronted with hard decisions, we often find it easier to dismiss God's conviction instead of allowing it to change our hearts. She encouraged us to determine right now to let the truth of God's word shape our convictions and guide our choices. When we do that, we choose to align ourselves with God's will, and we move into a closer relationship with the God who restores us. So this week, specifically, we were confronted with broken promises. Now, I don't know about you, First Five friend, but as Wendy shared, when I'm dealing with broken promises, I tend to get up all in my feelings, and that can lead me to respond in all the wrong ways. I want to be a woman who turns toward the Lord and trusts in his faithfulness, even when my people fail me, even when things don't go exactly the way I wanted them to and turn out the way I necessarily had hoped for. But that is oh so hard. And I don't know what season you're in right now. Maybe you're in a season where you're disappointed and things have just, they feel broken. I know we are experiencing that in our family and have been for quite some time. And I don't know how those pieces are going to get put back together. But as I looked at the scriptures we studied this week, I discovered truths that really helped settle my heart and helped to shape my thinking. And I needed that. And I am excited about sharing these with you today. So before we start, I was trying to land on a solid definition of what it means to live with conviction in God's word. I mean, what does that really mean? What does that really look like as we live it out? So we've got Wendy here, and she's a wise woman. So Wendy, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. What does living with conviction in God's word mean to you? I mean, how do you push past all those feelings? And, you know, when God allows you to be confronted by hard things that just make no sense to you.
Yeah, you know, I told you before we started recording this, I had to like push out all the things. We could talk for the next 30 minutes on this one question, but we don't have time. But I have, the words that came to me is I have to go to God's character. I have to remind myself of his attributes, like that God is faithful, that God is good, that he is love, that he promises he will never leave me or forsake me, that his eyes are always upon me, that he grieves with me, that he is working very hard in my heart to bring goodness out of it and something that will glorify him. And I just have all the scriptures and I wish I could read them all. But the most important thing is if we can always go back to his character, that can help us really submit ourselves to that conviction that we're feeling.
I love that. And I love that you use the word submit, because sometimes we're trying to figure it out. And sometimes it's just about surrender. So we're going to talk about that today. And you've kind of given us a little preview of some of what we're going to share. So I love that, Wendy. Thanks so much. And just to add to that, I wanted to share that I was looking for a definition. I came across a great article from our friends over at Gospel Coalition that described conviction as growing more settled in the truth. I thought that was beautifully explained. And that actually led to what I titled today's teaching today. I titled it Settled in the Truth. When we develop a conviction based on God's word, that truth, it's planted deeply in our hearts, and we allow it to correct our thinking. We allow it to influence our motivations, to inform our actions and how we behave. And it confirms what we believe and settles us. So today we're going to unpack three choices that we can make to settle into the truth with conviction when we are confronted by those broken promises. So let's begin by turning back to Zephaniah chapter 3, where we started this week on Monday. And to provide some context, we're going to actually read verses 1-5. So the text reads, "Woe to her who is rebellious and defiled, the oppressing city. She listens to no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. Her officials within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave nothing till the morning. Her prophets are fickle, treacherous men. Her priests profane what is holy. They do violence to the law. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no injustice. Every morning he shows forth his justice. Each dawn he does not fail, but the unjust knows no shame." Now, what the Holy Spirit brought to my attention as I prayerfully read through these verses and I asked for understanding was that in verse 2, this is how I respond. This is how I respond when I am not trusting in the Lord and I'm letting my emotions run wild. Verse 2 says, I'm not listening to the Lord. I'm not accepting his correction. I am not trusting in him. I am not drawing near to God. I'm letting all the brokenness push me away from the Lord of my life, who is the one I actually need to surrender to. And then verses 3 and 4 talk about how sometimes you and I, we turn to and we listen to all the wrong voices, all the wrong people. It describes fickle and treacherous voices that twist the truth and don't respect God's holiness. Instead of helping us grow more settled in the truth, we listen to the wrong voices and we allow our faith to be shaken by what they say. But verse five is the one that stopped me in my tracks, because verse 5 shows you and I how we can settle our hearts. Do you see what verse 5 focuses on? Wendy alluded to it in her comments earlier. Verse 5 isn't looking at our circumstances or listening to what the world says is, oh, ever so important. Verse 5 isn't focused on my ever-changing feelings and letting them run my life. No, verse 5, we see how God's faithfulness should be our focus. The Lord is righteous. He does no injustice. He does not fail. This is the truth that settles my heart in the midst of all the broken promises. My feelings and the wisdom of this world are fickle and ever-changing. But God Almighty, he will always remain faithful. A woman of conviction stays focused on God's faithfulness. Now, let's look back at Zephaniah chapter 3 again, looking this time at verse 7 for another choice we can make to settle into the truth with conviction when we are confronted by broken promises. Verse 7 reads, "I said, surely you will fear me. You will accept correction. Then your dwelling would not be cut off according to all that I have appointed against you. But all the more they were eager to make all their deeds corrupt." The phrase that challenged me here in verse 7 was at the beginning where it says, "You will fear me. You will accept correction." I read a beautiful description of what living with the fear of the Lord looks like in by one of our Bible scholars in a commentary. It said, it's a humble, loving obedience to God because of who he is. Proverbs 15:33 is a wonderful scripture that ties into this and confirms this. And actually, it puts together the two concepts mentioned here in Zephaniah 3:7 by stating, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. You know, this verse really challenged me, and it made me ask myself, will I be a woman who chooses to remain teachable and trust God's word is true, even when the broken promises of this world try to unsettle my faith and get me to question and doubt? A woman of conviction continues to fear God, to reverence him, and allow God's word to correct her thinking, to guide her choices, to tell her what is true when this world is lying to her, and to strengthen her resolve to obey God. Okay. Let's look at Haggai chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 5, 6, and 7 for one more choice we can make to settle into the truth with conviction when we're confronted by broken promises. The text reads, "Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now, our God, he points out the lack of conviction and the selfish choices of his children here in verse 6. And four words that just, they gripped me. You never have enough. These four words pricked my heart because God has already given me much more than I will ever deserve. And I should be incredibly grateful instead of immature and griping all the time about what I want and what I don't have and what I think I need. But I just couldn't help but notice how God introduced his comments here and challenged us to consider our ways. And then he repeats this admonition again in verse 7 at the end. One of the commentaries I read on this passage explained that this phrase actually means set your heart on his ways. We're to give careful thought to our ways, to our path of life, to how we're acting, what we're choosing. We're to reflect on how our actions don't align with God's word. And then with humble repentance, we're supposed to turn from our way, from what we want, from what makes sense to us, to change our direction and to fully submit and obey what God says is true. This is a picture of total surrender and submission to God that leads to a transformation and a change in how we live. It's making obedience to God our first priority above everything else. I wanted to share this quote because it grabbed my attention from a commentary called Bible Speaks Today. On this specific passage in Haggai, it said, "Change will not come by idle feelings, but by vigorous and purposeful engagement with the word of God." We can't just read God's word. It has to change how we behave. I love how Psalm 119 verses 59 to 61 describe what this surrender to obey his word looks like in real life. The psalmist says, "When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law." See, right there in the midst of those broken promises, it's a quickness to do what God says with conviction. A woman of conviction sets her heart on God's ways and submits to his word no matter what. All right, we have unpacked three choices that we can make to settle our hearts into the truth with conviction when we are confronted by all those broken promises. Let's review. First, we settle our hearts by focusing on God's faithfulness. He never changes. He never fails us. He is right and just. Instead of letting our feelings or the fickle worldly wisdom lead us astray, we remember he's faithful. Second, we determine to fear God, to reverence him, and to receive his correction. We remain teachable and we refuse to compromise our convictions. And finally, we remind ourselves we have enough. We set our heart on God's ways. We surrender our way and we submit to his word. And we resolve to continue to obey him no matter what. Now, I wanted to end our time today by reading two very familiar verses from Hebrews chapter 11 that define our faith and speak actually of living with conviction. Verse 1 in Hebrews 11 defines faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then in verse 6, we see how we live that out. We must, it says, draw near to God, especially when we're confronted by those broken promises. Verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please our God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. May God help us be women of conviction who settle our hearts by believing that our God is faithful and then committing to continuing to seek him no matter what.
Okay, I just want to stand up and applaud, Lily. That was so good. When I looked at conviction, I tried to scribble notes. I hope I can read my writing, but what I wrote that stuck with me was we allow the word to correct our thinking. We allow it to influence our motivation, to inform our choices, and to confirm what we believe. And all of that takes intentionality. And it leads to walking in God's will, but also remembering we never walk alone. I love that. Do I get an A for effort in listening?
Lily, it's a joy to be here, Wendy.
Oh, it was so good. Thank you. Let me close this in prayer. Abba Father, as your beloved daughters, we long to be women of conviction. Conviction based on your truth, truth we daily willingly plant in our hearts, women who allow you to correct us and check our motives and inform our choices through your living, active, sharp, and penetrating word. So today, Lord, we humbly, all of us listening, all of us sitting under Lily's teaching, we humbly submit our hearts and minds to you fully and completely and invite you to correct our thinking, to guide our choices and strengthen our resolve to obey you. And by your spirit, remind us to give careful thought to your ways and pay attention to our actions that don't align with your word and your will, and humble our hearts in those moments to turn, submit, and obey what you say and where you lead. And most of all, Lord, set our hearts on you above all else because you are worthy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.